And the title of the message is Exchanging the Truth for a Lie. Earlier this week, Georgia talked to me about giving a message this Sunday, and already had one kind of ready to go. But how God likes to do it sometimes, he changes your plans. Come Thursday, he put something else on my heart. So here we are this morning, Romans chapter 1. The message I'm going to get can be a difficult message to teach, not in the sense of difficulty that you don't understand what is going on in this passage, but the day and age we live in. I think in verses 18 through 32, it speaks of where we're at in America today. After January 6th and seeing the incident at the Capitol, I had a roller coaster of emotions that day. Not sure what to think, what to believe. And as far as the political spectrum is, left and right both have their demons. And we as Christians don't need to feed into that. When we turn on the news, all of 2020 and now starting in 2021, a lot of the nation's news, we've seen racism, we've seen hate, we've seen violence, we've seen the protests, and our best thing, COVID-19, that continues to fill our airways. We've seen the Capitol get seized, and as they were starting to make a decision for America's future, this happened to happen. We see emotions running wild on both sides of this issue. It's easy for us as Americans to get caught up in these emotions and pick a side. However, as Christians, we got to react differently to it. We have a higher authority to which we are accountable to. We're not accountable to Republicans. We're not accountable to the Democrats. We're accountable to God. So this morning, I want to talk about the issues that are going on in our nation, and I want to talk about exactly what we are seeing in our country. And it's not what everyone thinks it is. But we're going to get down to the spiritual problem that's going on in our country. So right now, we're seeing our great country in a total state of unrest, where sides are forming, even at the city, the state, the parish, the county levels. You've been seeing the divide, even the church is being divided right now with everything that is going on. We have a media that is playing a role in dividing us right now. You have the left-wing media, the right-wing media, both giving their two cents and putting their twist on what's going on right now. And neither one is totally right, neither one is totally wrong. But it leaves us in a state of confusion that's fueling hatred in our country right now. And as believers, we need to be the salt and light. We need to be that beacon in darkness that people can turn to for what is the truth. And just as our title states, exchanging the truth for a lie, that's exactly what's happening to our nation right now. The truth can be very hard to decipher, and thus many of us are left confused on exactly what is happening and what is the truth. But we know most of y'all have Bibles in your hands right now. We know that is the truth. And that is what we need to base our decisions off of. There's many taking advantage of this chaos. We've seen it all through 2020 with the rioting and the looting. We see the politicians taking advantage of it since they have such a high pedestal to stand up on and to drive the American people further into confusion and chaos. And we got to look beyond that. And like I said earlier, the answer to what's going on is not what most people think. Most people think that the answer to what is going on and the way to fix it is through politics. Keep Trump in office. Put Joe Biden in office. Heck, put somebody else in office. But the true answer to this, we know, all goes back to God. So the truth has been exchanged for a lie. And this is one of the reasons why the judgment of God may be coming upon our nation. And I think as Americans, we don't like to hear that. I know you talk to some people about this, and they're like, oh, no, it's okay. We're going to see better days. But there's a news flash to that. As the end of the world starts to come nearer and nearer and the end times come, the Bible does not speak about it getting better. It's going to get worse and worse, and mankind's heart is going to get darker and darker. And that's why we as believers have to be that salt and light in this world. And that's why we are here on this earth until he calls us home. So we're going to start in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. In the first portion of Romans 1:18, it talks about the wrath of God revealed. The idea of this is simply, it's simple, but it's sobering to us. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against the human race. And the human race deserves the wrath of God because we have gone away from him. And to be quite honest, America deserves the wrath of God because we have walked so far away from him from where we have started as a nation. And we don't like to hear that, but that is the sobering truth. Here we see Paul begins to paint on the canvas in Romans. He's painting it black. He's painting it dark at this point, starting in chapter 18. But that darkness will only let the gospel shine, will only let the truth of the gospel shine. But it also reveals to us as people that we need to know that we need a Savior. And many people here in America don't realize or see that they need a Savior. They don't realize they are lost. So if you don't know you're lost, you'll never know you need a Savior. If you don't realize you're in trouble, you're going to keep on going in the same direction you're going until a light is shined on it, that you're in a dark spot. And many in our nation are in that point right now. They're in a dark spot. And God, being a righteous God, can't allow sin to go on forever. He'll let it stew, he'll let it fester, he'll let it build up to what it needs to be, but at some point he's going to have to bring judgment and correction upon it. It's kind of like a doctor would come in to a cancer patient and say, hey, yeah, you have cancer, but I don't feel like having surgery on you right now, because if I cut into you, it's probably going to cause you some discomfort, and I don't want to do that, so let's not do anything about it. So at some point, God is going to do something about the sinful world and the sinful people that we are living in. Because if he wouldn't, just like if a doctor wouldn't suggest a surgery for cancer, that would be malpractice. And God is not going to be one of malpractice. And for those who never see their need, they will face the wrath of God. We know as believers, we have our correction from God. As his children, he'll correct us just like any loving father will correct their children to make sure they get back on the right path. But for those who don't see their need for a Savior, they will see the wrath of God to come. And the wrath of God is something that is being built up right now. He's allowing people to enter into their own sin, to live their sinful lives the way they want to lead it. You know, if you want to continue to do this, I'll let you have it. And we're going to talk about that a little later. So what brings on God's wrath? In verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. So the wrath of God is brought on by ungodliness and unrighteousness. We have ungodliness is sin against God. We have the unrighteousness can often be man sinning against man, doing horrible things to man. When Moses came down off of Mount Sinai, he came with two tablets. First four commandments telling us how we should treat God, the other six telling us how we should treat mankind and how we should go about our lives. Sadly, our country has done away with the Ten Commandments long ago, taking prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, out of some of the federal buildings. So men act unrighteously, unrighteous and ungodly ways will bring the wrath of God. So if you start to take God out of a nation, how do you expect the nation to act? Amen. Next, in verse 18, it tells us that the wrath of God will come because of ungodliness and the righteousness of men, but they also talk about those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I know we see that today, wanting to deny the truth of God, wanting to push it down to where no one speaks about the truth of God. The wrath of God is revealed against those who are determined to go their own way regardless of what they know to be true. We see here in Romans 1 that even creation testifies of the reality of God, which we'll speak about that shortly. Yet our society chooses to shun him by suppressing the truth. The word suppress, according to the 1828 dictionary, means to stifle, to hinder from circulation, as to suppress a report. Sounds just like our media today, suppressing the truth of God. Sounds like our politicians today wanting to follow the science instead of wanting to follow the truth of God. And we wonder why our country, our great nation that I know many of us in this room love, is in the situation it is in today. I'm a veteran of the United States Army. I love my nation. And I would do whatever I can for my nation to keep it where it's at. And that's why us as believers, we are also soldiers in the army of God, and we need to continue to push the truth and not suppress it. As many of our people, our fellow Americans, seem to want to do. The truth of God is all around us. And as we get into verse 19, we're going to show that even nature itself shows the truth of God that is being suppressed, unfortunately. Verse 19, it says, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Look, even those who don't know who God is, or they claim to not know God or want to know God, deep inside, they know there's a God. They know that there's a God. In verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is something within the human that tells us there is a God. Not only that, creation itself testifies that there is a God. I spent 8 years in one of the most beautiful areas of our world, in Hawaii. For 8 years I was stationed there. That place screams of God's creation. It amplifies it. There's no denying it. But yet people, even on those beautiful islands, will deny the existence of God. The grandeur of heaven alone has spoken to every tongue, every culture, and every society throughout history. Yet people still deny God. Psalms 19, 1 through 3 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory, the reality, and the substance and the weight of God. Even here in Louisiana, we can go into the Atchafalaya Basin and see that swampland and the rivers that run through that. That is the creation of God, and it screams it as well. We can go to the mountains in Colorado and see God. We can go to the deserts of California and see God. You can go to the Arctic and see the ice and see God. You can just look at the human body and see God, but yet people still stubbornly deny God. When judgment days comes, man will be without excuse. In America, with all his blessings we have received since becoming a nation, will be without excuse as well. There is no excuse for anyone on earth to deny that God exists and that God is a good God. In verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Here's one of the problems. Every man knows there is a God. Even the atheists that scream there is no God, fighting against the existence of God, knows there is a God. Because if you're an atheist and you're not supposed to believe in a God, why are you fighting against his existence? That's foolishness. But man chooses to suppress the truth and deny God exists because they don't want to give glory to God as God. They want to be God. They want to be just like Satan did. He wanted to overthrow the throne of God, and those who follow after him wants to do the same. Notice that the people took the action of refusing to honor God. They chose to not honor God. It wasn't just like something that just came about. They chose not to honor God, not to give him thanks for the blessings that are upon them. because even those who are non-believers have the blessing of God. They're breathing, they're eating, they're making a living. They have the blessings of God, but yet they choose not to give thanks and praise to Him. God has blessed our nation with so many blessings, so many financial blessings, health blessings. The nation we live in creation is beautiful. He's given us that blessing. But yet so many in our nation refuse to give thanks and honor to God for it. As a consequence, it says here that they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, if there is a God, if there is a God, we are required to submit to Him. Because He is definitely the higher power. He is our creator. We have to submit to Him. But my flesh doesn't want to do that. Our flesh often wants to suppress the truth that we see all around us. If you say that God doesn't exist, which a lot of people, that's what they want to claim, there is no God, even though the heavens and the stars scream that He does, and if there is no God, there is no consequence. And if there is no consequence, that means I can do whatever I want and get away with it, and it's okay. And that's exactly why people here in America do not want to believe in God, and they want to live a godless life because they want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be under any authority. Try and turn this page. Here we go. Now, this not looking at God as God or giving praise to God doesn't just apply to the unbeliever. It applies to us. And I'm pretty sure we all had our stories in our time when we've told God, I believe in you, but I want to do it my way. Although we know God, we fail to glorify Him as God whenever we stop being thankful for whatever He sends our way. And we neglect His word. We neglect what He's done for us. We neglect His way. He created us. I think He knows better than us. The world thinks that they are smart in their undertakings. We see politicians on both the left and the right thinking that they are really wise, but without guidance from God, they are merely fools. So anyone who thinks he knows exactly what should happen for his or her life, precisely how it should take place, is a fool. We should constantly seek God for our lives. Every small decision, every big decision, every in-between decision, we should be seeking God's guidance. And the problem with our country today is that we have politicians who are more concerned about padding their pockets than seeking the will of God for our country. And that's why January 6th happened. That's why 2020 happened. Because they have stopped seeking God, and I think God is getting to the point where it's time to make a move on the sins of America. And I know that's not hard to hear, but it's going to happen one day. Verse 23 says, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. On every corner of the earth, throughout history, there has been a desire to worship. Now, the object of the worship has always changed. Depending on what cultures you get in, you got many different gods, many different ways of worshiping. But suppressing the truth about God, they have now substituted God for their own God of their choosing. Suppression and substitution has been a method throughout history of trying to get rid of God in various cultures, and America is no exception. For years, our nation, we have been systematically shutting God out of our country, starting from the 60s, whenever we wanted to take out prayer out of school. We started with the Roe versus Wade with abortion. We started with taking out God out of our government, wanted to take in God we trust off of things. You hear that floating around all the time. And these small things, as we start taking them away from our nation, will slowly cause our nation to decline as we see today. We remove scripture from public places. We take the word of God out of schools. We focus so much on how special and important we are as individuals, but fail to give glory and credit to our Creator. We're so worried about us, me, 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 when we should be glorifying God. We have shut God out of our nation and consequently has given us up to our sins. We as a nation have turned away from our first love, and we worship money, we worship sex, we worship entertainment, we worship sports. How about the Saints and the Tigers? We'll dress ourselves up in their colors. We'll go to the stadiums and watch their games, to the point where it seems like we would almost die for them. And that is worship, to be able to worship something and to die for them. I'm willing to worship God and to die for him if that becomes the case. But all these other things that we have put on a pedestal here in America need to become second. Don't get me wrong. I like my LSU Tigers like any other person from Louisiana. But it can't be my God. I have to have something above that. As many right now probably getting ready to watch the Saints play today. We look at musicians, fashion models, TV shows, movies. Our culture elevates all these things. And we call ourselves believers, but often we are just as bad as the heathens who worship these false gods. We fall into those same categories. We have gone from worshiping the incorruptible God to the corruptible creation. And we wonder why America is where it is today. Verse 24, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We will often become like the thing we worship. Do you worship the true and living God? Then daily we should be becoming more like him, more like his son, more like Jesus if we're worshiping him. We should see a change in our life daily if that's who we truly are worshiping. Because the pagans here worshiped animals and they ended up becoming like the animals or the images that they worshiped. So we become like that which we worship as well. We've heard you are what you eat, right? You can put that as worship too. You are what you worship. You worship money, you're going to become full of greed. You worship sex, you're going to become perverted in your thinking. But if you worship God, you're going to become righteous. You're going to become doing the right thing and walking the right path if you worship God. So whatever you worship, you become like that. And here we see the de-evolution of man. He who suppresses the truth and denies there is a God begins to act like the animals and to worship the creation rather than the Creator. It says that God also gave them up to uncleanliness and lust of their heart. He's turning them over to their own sin. He's turning them over to their own desires since they do not want to worship God. God allowed those that continue to suppress the truth to do what they want, and in turn, it will destroy them. Sometimes when we hear about the wrath of God, we think about hailstones coming down and lightning striking people and everything like that, like his actual hand coming in and swiping people out. That is one way the wrath of God could work. The other way is for us to stew in our own sin and let us have what we want. Turn us over to our lust, turn us over to our greed, and let us destroy ourselves. So God has given sinful man over to his lust, and there is a price to pay. And I think that rings a bell in the light of what's happening in our nation today. That God has given America over to the lust that America has had throughout the years. All right, verse 26. We're going to go ahead and read through verse 26 all the way to 32. It says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Verse 28, and it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So after we turn from idolatry and worship of these false gods and these idols, the next step is moral decay. And we just had a whole mouthful of moral decay as we read through those scriptures. The pit of perversity is evidenced by a culture accepting and glorifying the perverted sexuality. Starting from the 60s free love movement to now, our society has been perverted and bombarded with sexual innuendos and devices and movies, and the list can go on. It is a sexually saturated society that we live in now. From commercials to movies, whatever, we hear it in the music. So after denying God and making their own idols, behaving like animals and worshiping nature, finally a society is given over to its sexual sin. And I often think God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but hasn't destroyed us yet. I think, you know, we owe those two cities an apology. Because God destroyed them fairly quickly, but yet God is still using the United States of America today. But our time will come if we don't repent. So, God gives us over to our lusts, and it usually starts with a sexual perversion of some type. The homosexual movement today, wanting to be considered the norm by most politicians, is nothing but a perversion. We love the people that are caught up in that lifestyle. We have to love them. God tells us to love them because their sin is no greater than our sin. And they're in need of a Savior just like we were. But that doesn't mean we condone their actions and their activities. Just got to remember that. Verse 28, he says here that at even as they did not like to retain God in their own mind, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Why do you think some of the things coming out of the mouths of politicians and the media sound so weird today? There are things that they say that, like, just make zero sense. Or things, the agendas that they push are like, how do you even without God, you would think, how are you even pushing these agendas? It just doesn't sound right. But you know what? Our rebellion against God is not only on display in our actions, but is also on display in our thinking. And these people are genuinely spiritually insane. God has given them over to a debased mind. He has given them over to whatever they want to do. And all that's going to do is start to deteriorate the mind. You know, we go to Christ and we get a mind like Christ when we become saved. We become Christ-minded. And we constantly work and constantly dig our way through our walk to become more like Christ and to get our minds more like Christ and to let the Holy Spirit take over and be and correct and clean out our mind. But just the opposite will happen whenever you don't give yourself to God. And then not only are you not giving yourself to God, now you're flat out denying God. And your life is starting to show that, so your mind will go the opposite direction. And that's exactly what we're seeing on our news media and our politicians today. Their minds are not going in the way of God. They have been given over to their own lust and their own sin, so their thinking is confused and insane. And that's what we see. Over the past few years, there has been so many strange things happening. And as Christians who have the mind of Christ, we just don't understand why. But that is why, because their minds have been given over to their sin. In Isaiah 5:20, I think I used this passage last week too, says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This is an exact representation of what is happening today. Marriage and sex between a man and a woman should be the norm, should be taught to our children, should be taught to society. Yeah, they say you can go have sex with anything and anyone you want today, and we can't say anything about it. There's two genders, there's a male and a female, but they want to tell you there's about 140 of them. The count may have gone up since yesterday, I don't know. You know, they want to tell you that you can have sex outside of marriage as long as it feels good to you, but then they cry when they catch disease and unwanted pregnancies. The reality is God has set parameters for us in all areas of life because it is safe and it is good for us. And when we step out of those parameters, we're going to pay the repercussions at some point. God is giving people up to the consequences of their sin because they have shut him out of their lives. What we see happening here in the book of Romans is happening right here in modern day America as we speak, and it has been happening for years. It has just seemed to be ramped up a little bit more over the past 20 years. Instead of worshiping God, our nation worships celebrities, athletes, money, and fame. Instead of putting our faith in God, who never lets us down, we put our faith in politicians and people who will let us down every time. The Bible clearly tells you that people are going to let you down. We need to take heed to that. I let my wife down at times. She lets me down at times. Everybody will let you down at some point in time. We don't make God our master in their country. We make money our master. We trust in politicians to tell us what to think and what to do and what is right, rather than relying on the teachings of Jesus Christ. When our country turns so far away from God, we can only expect that God will give us up to our sins, and that's exactly what's happening today. We have been given up to our sins. So what should we do as Christians? How should we react to this mess that we see in our country? We should not be surprised that sinners act like sinners. That's in their nature to do. They're going to act like sinners. We act like sinners. It's in our nature. When people are void of God, they are left to their own lusts and desires and will often do what's contrary to God. We need to repent, number one, as a nation, as a church, as individuals, for the wrongdoings that we have done, and be a salt and light and show love of Christ to a hurt and dying world. That's what we're called to do. He called us to go out. Make disciples of men, right? He calls us to be salt and light. He calls us to be love to this world. Now, I'm not talking about mushy love, but giving the real love of Christ. You got to remember, we have the cure to a disease that is plaguing this nation and this world, and that's the sin disease, and the cure is Jesus, and we have that. And if we're not giving it out to our neighbors and to our family members who are in need of it, we're just as bad as someone who has a cure for cancer but doesn't want to pass it out. Cure for COVID-19 and doesn't want to pass it out. We got to give them the cure for sin. You can go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 and 14. First thing we need to do. We need to repent and turn back to God. Not only as a nation, but as a church, as a body of Christ as well. Verse 13 says, when I, this is God speaking, so God is doing this, when I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. So God will send these judgments. God will ordain these things to happen. A lot of people say, well, God wouldn't do this and that. Well, verse 13 right here tells you that God would. Because if a people who don't follow him, a people who want to go against him, he has to correct that. But the good news is in verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's the answer. That is the answer to America's problem. If my people, who is his people? That's the Church of Jesus Christ. That's me and you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. We are his people. Here, obviously, he's talking about Israel, but this applies to us as well, the same concept. If we, his people, would call on his name and humble ourselves. That's one thing I find as Americans is it's very hard to humble ourselves. We're very proud people in America. Sometimes overly proud people in America, not realizing our blessings and who we are come from God, number one, and they could easily be taken away. We have to remember that. So if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, I think there's a lack of prayer in America. I think there's a lack of prayer in the church, and next week I'm going to teach on prayer. We're going to talk about that. I struggle with prayer. I think each and every one of us have a struggle with prayer. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what I should pray about sometime and how long should I pray and all these different things, but we should pray in some form or fashion to God. We should speak with him about our troubles. We should speak to him about the things that are troubling us in America today. That's what we should be doing. So if we as people turn, are called by his name, humble ourselves and pray, and number two, seek his face. Worship him. Get into the Word of God, his love letter that has been written to us, and we seek him. He goes on to say, seek his face, all right, and turn from your wicked ways. So turn from your sin. Pray to him. Humble ourselves. Seek his face. Turn away from our sin. Repent from our wicked ways. He goes on and says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And isn't that what we want in America? Don't we want our land healed? Don't we want to turn back to God, our first love? Well, here's the formula for it. Verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7 is what we should be doing. Not only as a nation, not only as a church, but as individuals, we each need to do exactly what verse 14 of Chronicles 7 is telling us. That's the answer. And it's going to start with me and it's going to start with you. The second thing that we need to do as Christians and how we should react, number one, we need to repent and turn back to God. Number two is that we should love, that love should be our great motivator in all things that we do. Like I said, not the mushy love. That never gets us anywhere. Sometimes it's the hard love that gets us where we need to be. In Matthew 22, it says, the question is asked of Jesus about what the greatest commandment is. He states, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So we need to love God first. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So these two commandments, the whole Testament hangs on. Everything that was written in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, all hang on this passage of Scripture right here. Because when we love God, we want to serve God. And if we're wanting to serve God, that means we're going to follow his ways. We're going to do things that are right. We're going to live lives that are pleasing to him. When we love our neighbors, we're going to want to serve our neighbors. We're going to want to We will want to introduce the Almighty Creator. We're going to want to introduce Jesus to them. We're going to introduce his love to him. Even when we don't feel like we deserve his love, we want to introduce that love to our neighbors. And who is our neighbors? The person sitting to the left and right of you. The person you see at the corner store when you get your coffee in the morning. The person you go to work with every day that irritates you. Maybe your boss. Your neighbor is humankind, and that's who we need to go to. Whoever is in your community, in your sphere of people, you need to go to them, and because you want to love your neighbor and follow this command, and you want to introduce them to Jesus. Love causes us to act in a way that is opposite of what we are seeing today. That event at the Capitol was not love. The riots and the murder we've seen on the streets in 2020 is not love. We need to be the opposite. That was dark. We need to be the light. When we react with love, there is no room for racism. There is no room for corruption. There is no room for selfishness and greed. There is no room for violence. When we react in love, we see patience, truth, endurance, belief, and hope. We must always react by staying grounded in the Word of God. If you want to know how to love someone, read His Word. The instructions are right there. It tells you exactly how to love someone. It could be easy for us in these situations to be overcome with emotions and start to react out of those emotions, but we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to choose sides in this fight. We got to choose God's side, and that is it. And walking the way He wants us to walk through this turbulent time. In Psalms 1, you don't have to turn there, we see the difference between a man grounded in God's word and we see one who is not grounded in God's word. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." Now that's what happens when a man follows the word of God. Who wants to follow after God, wants to love God, wants to love his neighbor, he prospers. The fruit will come forth in its season. He meditates on the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord day and night. He is constantly thinking about God. And when you don't constantly think about God, that's when sin starts to slowly creep into your life. When in verse 4 it tells you about those who do not follow God, it says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And those who are ungodly in our nation today will perish if they do not turn. But how can they turn back to God if we do not tell them? Now, some will continue to disregard the gospel. That's going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we don't do the job we are called to do. How are they supposed to be saved if they don't hear the gospel of Christ? If we truly love our neighbors, we will be willing to introduce them to Jesus Christ, who can wash away the multitudes of sin, just like He has done mine and just like He has done yours. And if we don't go out and teach them about the Word of God, if we don't go out and we don't preach the gospel, we're just like that doctor who had malpractice. We have to love each other. We have to want to share the truth to them. And as they exchange the truth for a lie, we need to exchange the lie for the truth. We have to remember that the core issue of what's happening in America right now, it's not political, but spiritual. And that's anywhere in the world you go where sin has reared its head up. It's spiritual. Satan is working in this world, and he's working hard on our country right now. He seeks to turn men against God and against each other, and is being very successful at it at the moment. He's having his day in the sun. But God is going to come back to squash that at some point. The core issue is hearts without God. The only way that we can overcome in this nation is through revival. And revival isn't going to be some tent popping up on the corner and everyone getting saved. Revival is going to start in the heart of each and every one of you. And then it can spread like wildfire from there. We must reintroduce God back to our neighbors. We must reintroduce God back to America, because hate won't fix the issues we're dealing with. Protests won't fix the issues we're dealing with. Riots won't fix it. Politicians won't fix it. Only God can fix America. Amen. Let's go ahead and end with a song. Father, we thank you for this message that you've given us this morning. I pray that revival would start in the people of this church today, Father. I pray revival would start in each one of our hearts that we can go out and spread your word and spread love and not hate, Father God. That we could repent from our own evil ways of the idols that we worship in our own life, Father God, and that we can get our house in order, Father God, so that we can go out and get America back in order, Father. I pray for our politicians. I pray for our president. I pray for our president that may be coming into office. I pray that hearts are changed. I pray that they would seek you, Father God, that godly counsel would come around them, Lord, to make America better again, Father. Make America holy again, Father, and that it would bring you glory and it would bring you honor only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.